Newest missionary we just took on a few weeks ago. We now have 38 missionaries serving in 11 different countries around the world. And I count it an honor to be associated with them and to be able to pray for them and do my best to help them in their ministries. And I appreciate God putting me in the ministry He's put me in. And I said all that to say this, that I came to Jubilee. I believe this coming year will either be 11 or 12 years in a row, except for 1 year when my wife was in the hospital, we've been coming to Jubilee. And I always told my wife, if I could, I'd be a part of Gateway Baptist Church. Let Brother Ray Stewart be my pastor. Every year I'd hear men get behind this pulpit and just brag about the fact that Brother Stewart was their friend. He glad their paths crossed and all that. But I thank God tonight I can say that Brother Ray Stewart's my pastor. I love him with all of my heart. I thank God for him. I thank him for his love for preachers and for missionaries. And he's got the tenderest pastor's heart that I've ever known. And I thank God for my pastor tonight. Amen. And preachers, anything else you want me to say? Amen. But I do appreciate the Lord letting us be here. And I echo the pastor's words. I appreciate the Pocket family. I've had the privilege of visiting their ministry I believe twice since I've been with the mission board. Been down to Mexico two times, and this past time we got to spend a little bit more time with them than we did the first time, and we just kind of breezed through the first time, but this time we spent several days there, and I was impressed. We went all over that town, and everywhere we went, everybody acted like, well, you'd have thought Brother Clark was the mayor. I mean, everybody knew him, and they were friendly, and that's what it takes to be a successful missionary. They went down there and immersed themselves into the culture and in with those people and befriended them, and now are able to do a mighty work among them. And I thank God for what He's doing with the Pocket family, and I appreciate the blessing they've been on my life over the past several years. They don't know it, but when I pastored and they came to our church, we took them on for support. That one CD I've got of them has been a blessing to my family. I have 5 grandchildren that are not being raised in church, which troubles my heart. But all the time I hear them talking about the Pocket family, and they sing that one song in Spanish, nothing but the blood, solo de la Jesus, la sangre, something like that. I'm close. And one of my grandsons will say, oh, Pa, play that blood song. And they're getting to hear the gospel because of this family. You have no idea how far you can reach when you start serving God. Amen. So I appreciate God letting us be a part of all this. Take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter number 3. This thought has been on my heart for several days now, and I got up this morning and came to the office and spent some time just thinking about things and trying to get prepared for preaching tonight. And I want to try to bring a message tonight that'll help us, if we can, to get ready for the new decade that's about to take place in just a little while. In fact, about an hour. We'll graduate from 2009 to 2010. We'll leave the first decade of the 21st century and go into the second decade. My, how time is flying, amen? And so I want to try to say a few words tonight that will encourage us and help us as we move on in this coming year, if God allows it to come. Philippians chapter number 3, if you would stand to your feet. We'll begin reading in verse number 13. And I suppose if I had to title this message, I just title it Pressing Toward the Mark. Beginning in verse number 13, the Bible says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. And Paul said, I hadn't arrived yet, amen. In fact, you and I haven't arrived either. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege of standing behind the sacred desk and opening up the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us your Word. You've preserved it for us, for without it we would be most miserable. Thank you that the Word of God tells us about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that blessed hope that we have tonight, that when we pass from this life to the next, we'll be able to go to heaven and see the Lord Jesus Christ and to have that rest, I understand, was preached about here earlier tonight. And Father, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for his shed blood. Thank you for the free pardon of sin and that blessed hope of eternal life. And Father, I pray tonight as we try to follow your leadership and preach the message you put on our heart, I pray if there's one here tonight that's never been saved by the grace of God, you'd speak to that heart and cause them to realize tonight the only hope and help they have is in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I need your help tonight. This is a thing that I cannot do of myself. And I pray, God, you'd give me your help tonight. We might say a word in season that would encourage somebody along the way and help us for the new decade about to approach. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Think about the Apostle Paul as he's writing here, and you can go back to the earlier verses in this chapter and find out the things that Paul used to be and the things that he was involved in before he got saved and all kinds. He was a religious man, but he was lost. And he gets down to verse number 13 and he realizes that he's not yet arrived. He's not yet gotten to heaven. And he says, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching unto those things which are before. And I want to mention, first of all, tonight in the message, I've got three short points here. First of all, what we have got to do is to learn how to forget what's behind us. All of us have probably, if we were to be honest about it tonight, all of us have a storied past of some kind. Most of us tonight would probably say we've got some skeletons in our closet that we hope nobody ever finds out about. And the Apostle Paul, no doubt, he had some things in his life that he wouldn't have been, I hate to use this word, he wouldn't have been proud of. He wasn't proud that he had persecuted the church and tried to kill those that were in this way. And he came to the place where he realized he's got to forget those things that are behind. I've been thinking about all day today. This is the end of a decade. This is the end of the first decade in the 21st century. 10 years ago, you and I were worried about Y2K. We were scared to death that some computer glitch was going to take place and the whole world was going to fall apart. But guess what? Life went on just like it always had. In fact, I had a preacher friend of mine tell me one time that his pastor said he got a phone call during Y2K, and this fellow said, hey, preacher, you need me to come by your church and preach for you? I've got some things about Y2K your people need to hear about. The preacher said, I'm afraid I can't let you come. I've already got enough people causing trouble in my church. We've already got enough to fear. We don't need you coming in here and stirring up more fear. Amen? We started off in Y2K, and now we're at 2K10, the end of a decade. This decade has been a disastrous decade. I got to thinking about the numbers of decades that I could remember in the history of America, different decades that have had an adverse impact on our country. I believe one of the worst decades we ever faced was the decade of the 1860s, when the fundamental foundations of this nation were destroyed by Abraham Lincoln. He took away what we call a federated republic and destroyed what was known as the United States of America, where we had sovereign states that would rule this country together and create a centralized government that is now the head of an ugly dragon. That was a terrible decade. I think about the decades that we read about in the 1920s. They called them the Roaring Twenties, when they had speakeasies and flappers and Charleston dances and all kinds of riotous living going on. That was a terrible decade. It was followed by the 1930s when the nation was in a financial ruin, in a Great Depression. People were committing suicide over financial ruin. It was a terrible decade. The 40s were a horrible decade where the whole world was cast into a world war. And close behind it, the decade of the 50s, the Cold War really caught on fire and became the problem of that decade. In the 1960s, we saw a thing called the Vietnam conflict, which I had the privilege to be a part of. It was a terrible decade. One, I believe, that divided this country, a division of which we've never gotten over. Then came the decade of the 70s, when the yuppies and the hippies were having their way. Then came the decade of the 80s. Thank God there was a little hope during that time, when Ronald Reagan was the president. Then there was the decade of the 90s, when our president didn't even know what the word "is" meant. There was corruption and immorality in the very Oval Office of our White House. What a horrible decade. But think about the decade we're just coming through. The first decade of the 21st century. It was a decade, I believe, that Satan has put his design on. It is a decade that has caused a great deal of distraction for the people of God. It's caused us to get our focus off of the things of God and to put our focus on what's going on around the world. You may recall, as I did, how I got entrapped in those things at the beginning of this decade when we had an election in 2010, the first presidential election that was ever decided by a Supreme Court rule. And for weeks on end, every day, day and night, you may have done like I did. I was up night and day watching the television, trying to figure out what's going to happen to our election. And it was distracting my attention from the things God wanted me to be doing. Not long thereafter was when 9/11 took place. And again, for weeks and weeks and weeks, I was up night and day watching the news, trying to figure out what's going to happen to our country. Satan was using those things to draw our attention. Then began the war on terrorism, which has further divided our nation. Ain't it funny to you? It's funny to me that on September 11th, 2001, I believe it was. Is that right, 2001? That all of a sudden when we come under attack, everybody wants to get together and pray. I never heard one word mentioned about repentance. Everybody wanted to pray, but nobody wanted to get right with God. And I believe God brings some things into our lives as a nation to get us back in the right direction. What God wants is a people that's willing to repent and to confess. If thou confess your sins, God says He'll forgive your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. But there must be some confession, amen. Well, I'm not going where I wanted to go. All these things have served to distract God's people, and we have become a people of fear rather than a people of faith. We're worried about losing our jobs. We're worried about what's happening to our 401k retirement accounts. We've got all these things that we're in fear of. And the Bible very plainly says that God has not given us a spirit of fear. So if God does not give a spirit of fear, guess where it comes from? Ain't but one place it can come from, and that's the devil. And what Paul is saying to us tonight, and what I'm trying to get you and I to see tonight, what we've got to do is forget those things that are behind. We need to get our attention off of what the devil's distracting us towards and forget those things and get our eyes on where God wants us to go in 2010. Somebody said tonight in the other meeting I was in, said folks are worried about losing their job. Well, you still got God. Amen. We still have God. No matter how bad the world situation looks, no matter how bad the economy gets, no matter how many times you lose your job, no matter how much you lose in your 401k, we still got God. Amen. And He's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. Well, I thought about this a while ago when I was sitting over there. I got thinking about this. All these things that are happening, they have to happen. We're getting towards the end of this thing. It won't be long before God's going to get us out of here. And these things that we're witnessing, they are going to happen at some time. And I thought about what Brother Chris Grinstead said. We have understanding of the times. Let's just forget about those things and get our minds on God where they ought to be to start off with. Amen. So number one tonight, what we need to do to prepare for the second decade of the 21st century is forget all that junk. Quit worrying about the economy. Quit worrying about where you're going to be working tomorrow. God's got everything under control. Amen. Ain't nothing yet caught Him by surprise. He'll take care of all the other stuff. But then I want to show you something else tonight. Paul said, you see there, forgetting those things which are behind. Now look at that next phrase. And reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now listen to me. I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Numbers chapter 32. I'm going to say a few things here that if you were here on December the 6th, 1993, you might have heard me preach this. But I felt like God wanted me to say something along this line tonight, and I'm going to do it, amen? In Numbers chapter 32, now Paul said we're going to forget those things that are behind and reaching forth into things which are before. Now listen, we got to forget the problems of the world, and we got to start focusing on the things that are before us. Because you see, if we let Satan distract us, we're going to miss the things that God's got for us. Now, I'm going to show you an example in the Bible about that. In Numbers chapter 32, you read with me the first few verses. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, I'm going to skip verse 3, go to verse 4. Even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore, said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. Now listen to me. God had a place that He wanted the nation of Israel to occupy. And you know the story how they came to Kadesh Barnea. They sent in 12 spies. 10 brought back an evil report, and 2 brought back a good report. And they said, we can possess the land. And they refused to go in and possess the land. And God said, because you've disobeyed and not gone in and possess the land, you're now going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. God had a place for them, and a place where he wanted them. And Paul says that we are to reach forth to those things which are before us. And God had set before the nation of Israel a land of promise, a land of milk and honey. And they were to cross now. They've come to the place after wandering for 40 years. They've come to the Jordan River, and it's time to cross over. Moses is about to pass off the scene and Joshua take the leadership. And just before they finally get to where God's wanted them these last 40 years, Reuben and Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh said, we don't want to go. Don't make us cross the Jordan. And I discovered here in this text of Scripture that if we're not careful, we'll be distracted from the things that God has put before us. I don't feel like I'm getting my message across. What I'm trying to get us to see tonight, that there is absolutely nothing in your life more important than what God wants for you. Your job, your family, your finances, it doesn't matter. There is nothing in this life more important than what God has in store for you. And Paul said, let's forget those things that are past and let's move on for reach forth unto the things which are before. That's what God wanted for Israel. And Reuben and Gad and half tribe, and they said, we don't want to go. Bring us not over Jordan. And Moses got mad. Now let's read on. Verse number 6, let me just say this first of all. The things that distracted them. We got to be careful, or we'll let the devil distract us from those things that God's got set before us. You know what distracted these tribes? First of all was their labors. They had a great multitude of cattle, verse 1 said. Verse number 4 says, thy servants have cattle. In other words, they're saying, we got a lot of work to do right here, therefore, don't take us over Jordan. Boy, I wonder how many people are sitting here tonight that you've got a job that you love, that you don't want to give up, but God has said to you, I got something set before you. I got something I want you to do, but you're saying, I'm not giving up my job for nothing. They were distracted by their labors. They were distracted by the land. Verse 1 says, they saw the land, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. But can I remind you of this? They saw the land, it was a place for cattle, and they had cattle, but it was not the promised land. It was not what God had set before them. And God wanted them in the land of promise, the land that flows with milk and honey. Why? Because that represented for them what we would call the abundant Christian life. I hear people preaching about crossing Jordan as a picture of death, but that's not what it is. Crossing Jordan is not a picture of going to heaven. When I get to heaven, I'm not going to fight any battles. First thing they did when they crossed the River Jordan was fought the Battle of Jericho. But crossing the River Jordan is a picture of the abundant Christian life. It's a picture of us getting where God wants us to be and enjoying the blessings of God and serving God. And they said, don't take us over Jordan. They were saying, we don't want God's best for us. We'd rather have this second land than the first land. So they weren't willing to go. They were distracted. You know what I've often wondered? Why do we get so tied down to a little old 100 by 200 foot lot with a 3-bedroom house on a 2-car garage? Why do we have to be there at that spot? Do you not understand that we are not citizens of this world? Amen. We have a city which has filled a foundation whose builder and maker is God. Abraham looked for a city. He dwelt in tabernacles, in tents. He didn't set down no roots on one piece of ground, say, bless God, I'm going to stay here, swim, swink, or drown. He was willing to go anywhere God wanted him to go. Amen? They're distracted by the land. See that woman sitting right yonder? She'd give her eye teeth to move to Cheyenne Crossroads, South Carolina, and nurse them 5 grandbabies and that 6th one that's on the way. But she said, honey, wherever God sends you, that's where we'll go. She'd move back tomorrow. But God said, I want you to go. We're not tied down to some piece of land. Why are you? It's distracting you from where God got set before you. Either I ain't getting the message across or I'm hitting a nerve somewhere. Walls are being built all over the world to keep people out. We'd be a whole lot better to get where God wants us to be and let Him break down the walls. They didn't want to go over Jordan. We like this land. It's a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Don't take us over Jordan. And you know what they had to do when you read the rest of the story? They had to promise to pack up and go over and help the rest 9.5 tribes get their land before they could possess their land. And in order to do so, they had to build walled cities to protect their sheep and their families while they was over yonder fighting for the other 9.5 tribes. They were building walls to keep things in, and God was tearing down walls over in the promised land. Anytime we get out of the will of God, we ain't willing to go where God wants us to go. You know what we got? We got to build walls. We got to build walls to keep us in, and it keeps God out. Amen? But let them walls be torn down. They said, we like this land. Therefore, bring us not over Jordan. And I believe the third thing that distracted them was not only their labor and their land, but their lust for leisure. We've never lived in a time when there's such a lust for leisure. Have they looked at that land? It's thy servants have cattle. This is a land that's good for cattle. Man, it must have had alfalfa and hay and grass and everything growing everywhere. And they thought, man, if we just stay here, all we got to do is just turn them sheep loose and we can kick back and enjoy ourselves. That's about the attitude of most Christians today. We don't care what God's got before us. I'm satisfied right here. I've got some work I can do. I've got some land I can live on, and I can just kick back and take it easy. Distracted. Now watch it. Look at verse number 6 where I started to go. When we get distracted, you got to listen to this now. You got to hear what I'm fixing to say. I'm talking at a Gateway Baptist Church. He said here in verse number 6, and Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war? And shall ye sit here in your leisure? Now look at verse 7. And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them. Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. You get the picture. They got to Kadesh Barnea and they saw the land. I mean, it took two men to carry a bunch of grapes. I mean, it was a prosperous land. But they brought back an evil report and discouraged the hearts of the people so they wouldn't go in and possess the land. And Moses saying now to these 2.5 tribes, what you're wanting to do, you are in danger of discouraging the hearts of the people so that they won't want to go in and we'll be in the same mess we was in before. Let me tell you something tonight. I know this from experience. There's nothing more discouraging to the man of God who's trying to lead a church where he can't get nobody to do nothing, if you'll pardon my southern language. When the pastor knows that he's got some people that God wants to use, and he knows there's some people out here that's lost without the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have what they need, and we won't get involved. We discourage the heart of the man of God. Am I right, preacher? You know I'm right. When you want to stay on the wrong side of Jordan and not get to where God wants us to be, you're in danger of discouraging the whole mess. And if you ain't careful, God will put the light out in here. Amen? Maybe somebody's getting it. Listen, the danger of discouragement. But watch this. Verse 10 through 16. Look at verse number 9 first. Should have read that a while ago. For when they went up to the valley of Esco and saw the land, they discouraged. Discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. Verse 10, and the Lord's anger was kindled the same time. The Lord was mad. The Lord got angry. Oh Lord, just give me this thought. Does it bother you when God gets mad at you? God got mad at him. I don't know about you, but I don't want God mad at me. Amen. It's bad enough I probably got some of y'all mad at me right now for what I'm preaching. But I want God to be happy, amen. Listen. Verse number 11, saying verse 10, verse number 11, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham. This is what happened the first time. They believed that evil report. They were discouraged by the evil report and wouldn't go in. So here's what God did. Make a long story short, here's what God said. I won't read the whole thing. God said, you're going to wander in this wilderness until this generation that's 20 years old and up will perish in the wilderness. That's happened. Now listen, let me skip on down. Look at verse 14. Now he's talking to this crowd. And behold, ye are risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men, to augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord toward Israel. For if ye turn away from after him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness, and ye shall destroy all this people. You know who he was talking to? He was talking to that crowd that had been distracted by their labor and by their lands and by their lust for leisure and did not want to go over the River Jordan to where God had planned for them to be. And he said to those 2.5 tribes, if you do this thing, you'll be responsible for destroying the whole nation. Boy, that thing hit me one day. If I don't get in line with God
and I don't go toward those things that are before us, I could be responsible for destroying this work. There ain't no doubt in my mind that God put Gateway Baptist Church right here. He knew you were going to be here, and He's got something for you to do right here in Gateway to advance Gateway Baptist Church towards the things that God has set before us. And if you and I refuse to cross over Jordan, we could be in danger of seeing this work destroyed. Boy, I'd hate to know I had to stand before God and one was the one that was responsible for God closing up a work because of my distractions. That's a terrible thing. Amen. Are you listening? You getting what I'm saying? I hope you are. Let me go one step further and I'll try to find a place to close. We've got to pray here in a few minutes. Now listen, there was a danger of discouragement. There was the danger of destruction. But I want to show you something out of Luke chapter 8. Listen to me, get this point. There was a danger for their descendants. You listening to me? I'm experiencing some of that now with my children. I don't know if I missed a boat somewhere along the way. What? I don't know. But my heart aches for my children. I want you to look at Luke chapter number 8. I think I'm right when I get here and show you what I want to show you. You get the picture now. They've wandered in the wilderness. I'll find it in a minute. It's in there. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And finally got to where they could get where God wanted them. And they said, don't take us over this Jordan. Who was it that didn't want to go? It was Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh. Here's the Jordan River. Here's the west side. This is the promised land. This is where God wants them. Those 2.5 said, no, we'll just be satisfied with this over here. So God let them have it. Up here's the Sea of Galilee. Here's the Jordan River. And there's the Dead Sea. They're over here on the wrong side of Jordan. You with me? Luke chapter 8, verse number 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples and said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. And when they got over to the other side, guess where they were at? Look at verse number 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes. Reuben, Gad, half tribe of Manasseh. If I've done my study right, these Gadarenes are descendants of the tribe of Gad. These are their descendants. They lounged around on the wrong side of the Jordan River instead of forgetting what was behind and moving on to what was before them, they stayed behind. And look what happened. You know the story as well as I do. When they got out of the boat, there was a man there that was possessed with a legion of demons. This was God's people, their descendants. But I want to skip down to verse number 35. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Well, I'd hate to know I'd get to the place where I'm afraid to see God do a work. All because they were satisfied with less than God's best. God said, I got a land of promise that's flowing with milk and honey. It's the land I've chosen for you. It's the place I want you to be. All you got to do is go over. They were distracted. Said, oh no, I'll be satisfied with this land and this labor and my leisures. I don't want what's best from God. Now their descendants are so far from God, they're afraid when they see God do a work. Look at verse 36. Then all, they also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devil was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them. Told God to go away. Their descendants. There's nothing in this world that would be worth seeing my children in the house of God, to see my grandchildren being raised up in Sunday school. But we've been distracted. Somewhere along the road, I don't know if we missed it or not, but my descendants, because of the distractions, don't want to hear about God. Let me tell you something, friend. Paul said, forget those things that are behind. Who cares what kind of job you got? Who cares where you have to live? What difference does that make if we can just get our eyes on God and press towards the prize of the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Forget about the past. Forget about the things of this world. Forget about 401ks. Forget about homes with two-car garages. Just get where God wants you to be. Cross over Jordan. Don't discourage the people. Don't see the work destroyed because you're not willing to forget what's behind and reach for those things that are before us. Boy, God's got something for us in 2010. How do you know, preacher? Because he's still got us here. God's got something he wants us to do. God's got something he wants you and you and you and you to do. If we don't forget the things of this world. Forget about Barack Obama. Forget about health care. Forget about $1 trillion of debt. Bless God, God's still God. We still got a work to do. We still got the good news of the gospel to preach. There are still multiplied millions around the world that need to hear the good news that you already know. What we've got to do is forget what's behind and reach for what's before us. Let me read another verse and I'll close. Go back to our text in Philippians chapter number 3. I'd find it. Look at it. Boy, I had some more stuff to preach out of verse 14, but I ain't got time. But he says, I press toward the mark for the prize. Ooh, there's a prize coming, amen. I ain't got time to go in. Of the high call of God. I will give you this. I believe God's got three calls on everybody's life. There's a heavenly call, a call to salvation. You believe it? Yeah, I believe that. The Bible says, God who will have all men to be saved. I believe there's a heavenly call, and if you're not saved tonight, God's calling you to get saved. But there's a second call. It's a holy call. It's a call to sanctification. He said that He's holy, and we're to be holy. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Come out. We are to be holy before the Lord. But then there's a high calling. That's a call to service. Paul said he was called to be a servant. Well, thank God. Listen, you've got God's call in your life. God wants you to be saved. God wants you to be holy. And God's got a place of service for you. Listen to me. You ought to be looking for the place where God wants you to serve. Hang with me for just a couple more minutes. If God's got a place, young people, listen to me. If God's got a place for you to serve, and you don't look for it, you don't find it, you don't cross over Jordan, you could destroy the whole group. Everybody just give up. Oh, listen to me. If you know Christ is your Lord and Savior tonight, He's got a place for you to serve, and you ought to diligently seek it until He shows it to you. Amen. I got to give you this in close. Verse 15. Let us therefore, what? Because we're going to forget the things behind. We're going to reach forth to the things which are before. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, those of us that are saved, be thus minded. What does that mean? Same mind as Paul. Just forget those things that are past and reach for the things that are before us. And watch this. And if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you. I believe God's speaking to hearts tonight. There's probably some folk here tonight that need to be saved. But more than that, there's probably some folks here tonight that's been holding out on God. You ever prayed this way? Lord, I'll do so and so. If you ever prayed that way, Lord, I'll surrender to preach if you don't send me to so-and-so. That's not what God's looking. God's looking some people that'll forget what's behind and reach for those things that are before us and press towards the mark of the prize of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said he'd not yet apprehended. I ain't yet got where I think God wants me to be. But I know what God wants me to do. He wants me to keep pressing towards the mark. He wants me to keep looking for His will. He wants me to keep getting closer and closer to Him. And He says if those that can't see, He'll reveal it to you. Amen. So here's what I'm saying tonight. Let's forget about all the troubles. I named off all those decades. Each one of them had its problem. And guess what? The decade of 2010, it's going to have its problems. I don't see this world situation getting any better, and you don't either. But I don't care, because this world's not my home. I want what God wants. I want to cross over Jordan and get into the blessings of God. I want to see God do something in my life. I want to see God do something in my wife's life in the way and in my kids' life. And the way it'll happen if I just keep pressing on and forgetting those things behind. And set my affections on nothing but God. Amen. Pastor, you come.
you bow your heads for a moment. I want you to think about what's been preached.